The June CPI report at first seemed like really good news. An outright decline in overall consumer prices for the first time this cycle. That whole stickiness out the window for the second straight month. But then that disinflation relief quickly turned into, oh no. This one went way beyond just the return to a benign price environment. Way too much was consistent with a troubled economy tilting further into recession. That oh no reaction sent interest rates tumbling, with more bull steepening signals starting with the 5-year 10-year spread that I talked about a couple days ago. And this follows some really ugly results across interest rate swaps, which we'll get into here too. There were two major points from the CPI. First, it was broad-based disinflation, not just lower gasoline prices. Services were actually flat, and that's a big one. Rent prices, the one we've been talking about all this time, those finally slowed way down for the first time as well. New and used auto prices fell also. Second, and just as important, this isn't only a single month. June makes two in a row. Because of the typical noisiness in high-frequency statistics, it isn't uncommon for the CPI to slow way down one month only to pop right back up the next. So two consecutive months of what we've got here, however, that really reduces the chances that this is some statistical fluctuation. It instead points to bigger problems. Now, none of this should have been a surprise. Consumer spending has been weak. We've heard from how many companies during these same 2 months saying they're going to be cutting prices because their customers have no money. Unemployment is up and still rising. The only reason it was a surprise is Jay Powell and the Fed, a group of people with the most useless theories on consumer prices. Yet everything they say is written down as gospel, the monetary blind leading the illiterate. Inflation was never sticky because it wasn't inflation. This is still the downside of the supply shock, full stop. It didn't go in a straight line, nor did it stick to anyone's schedule. And here's the thing. When you put the CPI in the context of everything else, corporate warnings, unemployment, yield curve shifts, and on and on and on, this isn't a time for being relieved. It really is an oh no type of signal. So we've got the details on the CPI report to go over, as well as some pretty interesting reactions to it. And more importantly than those, what's happening in the bond market, the yield curve, and maybe most important of all, what's going on interest rate swaps and what's behind everything else. So we'll start with the details of the CPI report for the month of June in the United States. The consumer price index is actually down, as I mentioned the first time this cycle, that it was actually a negative, minus 0.06% month over month. And that had been slowing down since March and April, and now June with an outright negative. So 2 months in a row with basically no price changes. In fact, the index is now down on a two-month basis because May's change was 0.01%. And with June being a little bit bigger negative, you've got a negative on a two-month basis, which is exceptionally rare. The last time we saw the CPI negative on a two-month basis were the three worst lockdown months in 2020, March, April, and May. Before that, you got to go all the way back to February of 2016 with the oil crash. So in between, that's a period of 100 months. This is only the fourth time the CPI has been negative on a two-month basis. So this is exceptionally rare, and it tells you that this is something more significant than even the disinflation we saw at the end of last year. So that brought the year-over-year change in the CPI down under 3%, believe it or not, to 2.98%. It had been 3.25 in May. A big reason why consumer prices overall were negative, though not the only reason, as we'll see in just a moment. Motor fuel prices down big for the second straight month. According to the BLS, motor fuel was off 3.7% in June after being down 3.6% in May. The core CPI was barely positive in June, up just 0.06%, and that followed a 0.16% monthly change in May. And that's the lowest monthly rate since January 2021. Again, a two-month slowdown in the core rate. That brought the year-over-year change to 3.28, which is a new low in the cycle. And it had been as high as 3.8 just a couple months ago in March. So over the last 3 months, you're talking about half a percentage point coming off the core annual rate. And a lot of it in the last 2 months, and a lot of it consistent with everything that we've been talking about the last 2 months. Maybe the biggest shocker was the shelter index, or the shelter component, because rents have been a big problem, in at least in terms of the consumer price index, for the last several years. The imputations, the artificial calculations that go into the, especially owner's equivalent rent have held overall consumer prices higher than they otherwise would have. Now, many people have said that this is a real thing. This is still some lingering strength in the rental markets, which we don't see evidence for anywhere, or migrants and migration. Far more likely this entire time, it was just nothing more than the imputations, the calculations, the artificial nature of what goes into the CPI as far as shelter prices, especially, again, as I said, over owner's equivalent rent. Shelter price index was up just 0.17% in June. That's the lowest of the cycle so far. It had been around 0.4% for many months before then. So this is the first real deceleration in shelter prices in quite some time. Owner's equivalent rent was 0.28%, which again shows you artificial. It's a little bit higher than shelter overall. The market components and rents are coming down much faster than the artificial part. 0.28% was still the lowest, down from the 0.43% in May. So even owner's equivalent rent is slowing down, reflecting housing prices, the housing market conditions from about a year and a half ago. They're finally catching up with the CPI at a moment when everything else is going down, because it's not just rents, it's not just gasoline, it is everything. When we look at the CPI, services less rent. Services had been a big one, contributing to the narrative about sticky consumer prices earlier this year. They had surged in January and February in particular, and again in March. But since March, services prices less rent have been slowing way down. April was up 0.22%, then May was basically flat, 0.02%, and then the new one for June, 0.04%. So two straight months where services prices have been flat. That's a big one too. And we look at all items less food, energy, and shelter, which show, again, it's not just gasoline. Those were down, that index was down in both months too, minus 0.04% in May and minus 0.02% in June. So two straight months of that one as well. So the slight negatives the last 2 months in the all items less food, energy, and shelter, that's exactly what we've been talking about with all of these companies like Target and Walgreens and Walmart to a big extent too, cutting prices for consumers. This isn't gasoline, this isn't shelter, this isn't food prices, though lower food prices would really help here. This is everything else in the consumer price experience going lower because the economy is weakening. Not only have companies been telling us they're cutting prices, they've been telling us why they're cutting prices. Because their customers don't have money. Unemployment is rising. Incomes are weak. The entire economic situation is tilting in the wrong direction. And here's the CPI evidence which shows it. So consumer prices are not sticky. We've got two straight months of more than just benign disinflation. We've got a lot of details suggesting recession type of conditions. Now, to get behind all the myths and mistaken assumptions about inflation, money, finance, the whole global economy, that's why Eurodollar University offers memberships and subscriptions. And they're now on sale at some of the lowest prices we've offered since we launched a couple years ago. We have tons of videos on everything from the basics of money and financial concepts, even the basics of QE and QT, you just won't get anywhere else. Loads of history, huge quantities of actual evidence. We have a daily deep dive where I dive far deeper behind all the topics I bring up here on YouTube. Also a daily briefing to keep you updated on everything that's happening in money and macro. Eurodollar University's anniversary sale and its sale prices only available for a limited time. Check out our website, eurodollar.university. With today's surprising to some CPI report, we got some very interesting reactions from around economists and the financial media, the whole landscape. Because again, Jay Powell has been said, we're not confident about consumer prices. We think it's sticky. All we've been hearing is sticky, sticky, sticky. And here we have suddenly two straight months of consumer prices that don't look sticky, nor do they look all that benign. We'll start with, this list is compiled by Bloomberg. We'll start with Richard Flynn from Charles Schwab in the UK. Today's figures show that the rate of inflation has dropped compared to last month. This is the latest in a string of data releases that continues to set the stage for the Fed to cut interest rates this year, potentially as soon as September. We expect that this economic optimism will benefit markets. And that's the most charitable view, that this inflation is benign, and therefore it's going to benefit the overall economy because no more consumer price pressures. At the same time, that will allow the Fed to gently cut rates to glide us all right into the soft landing. But more and more economists and mainstream observers are starting to realize there's a little bit more here than just the Goldilocks scenario that many would like to still believe in. Another one. Ron Temple at Lazard. A September rate cut should be a done deal at this point. Given the increasing evidence of slowing economic growth, it's time for the Fed to refocus on the dual mandate and ease monetary policy. And what he means by that is start paying more attention to the unemployment rate. And one thing you'll notice here is that everybody couches all of their analysis in terms of what is the Fed going to do? What is the Fed going to do? When we should be entirely focused on what is the economy doing right now that the consumer price index is telling us. It's not about future Fed reactions to weakness that's already apparent today. It's about the weakness that we continue to see develop right in front of our eyes. Chris Lowe at FHN Financial. The Fed will be very pleased with the June CPI report. Again, the Fed. In fact, inflation was so subdued, FOMC members may start to worry they have kept policy tight for too long. This is not about policy tightening. This is about the downside of the supply shock. But everybody, again, it's all about the Fed. One more here. Maybe the best one of the bunch. Jay Hatfield at Infrastructure Capital Advisors. The cool inflation print combined with a weakening economy and labor market indicates that the Fed should cut in July, but probably won't do it due to its flawed policy framework and propensity to be behind the curve. You got that right. We do believe that the Fed will definitely cut by September. And the September Fed cut will usher in a wave of continued central bank cuts. And then Jay goes on to how about how liquidity is good for asset prices. And you're doing so well there, Jay. But essentially, that's the message. The Fed reacts to weakness and then starts to adjust its interest rate, not monetary policy, its interest rate policies according to how it believes the economy was way back a couple months ago. So while they should be thinking about cutting rates in July, and they could still do so because of everything that's come in since then, since the last meeting, it's more than likely than not that they'll wait till September, but by then everything will have already developed anyway. So as many people are starting to sense, the economy that looked like it was heading into its Goldilocks soft landing, disinflation and everything, now we went from sticky to, oh no, this isn't just benign disinflation, especially with unemployment on the rise. With the Fed potentially getting itself finally out of the way for good, interest rates in the marketplace were down sharply on the CPI report. The two-year U.S. Treasury yield was 4.49 at last check, which would be its lowest if it closes there, would be lowest closing yield in 5 months, going back to February 12th. The 10-year benchmark was 4.17, 4.18, which is a new rally low, and by rally I mean since the end of April, the new mini rally low. It would be the lowest going back to March if it also holds on here too. That puts the 2-year 10-year spread in the low 30s, still inverted. What we want to see out of the 2-year 10-year spread is that to start to uninvert more strongly, getting that spread down into the 20s or even the teens. Again, upside down inverted where the 2-year rate is still above the 10-year. But that spread should narrow as the 2-year yield goes down faster than the 10-year, and that would be a pretty strong signal to the bull steepening case. Now, I mentioned in a video a couple days ago about the 5-year 10-year part of the curve, which is a very critical part of the curve right in the middle where all of finance actually lives. And that one has been starting to look more and more like a bull steepening, at least the initial stage toward bull steepening, as that has uninverted, where now the 5-year is back below the 10-year, and the spread between the two, the positive spread between the two, has increased. As of today, after the CPI, the 5-year was about 4.11%, which is, you know, a mini rally low, and the 5-year 10-year spread is up to 7 basis points at times at 8. So that's the most uninverted since last year, and as I mentioned in the previous video, that's a possible early warning sign toward the bull steepening. And again, I hate that term because it's not really bullish for anyone except those who are holding safety and liquidity. And when you're being rewarded for owning safety and liquidity, nothing good is going on around you. So the fact that we see all of this macroeconomic evidence along with curves moving in this fashion, it's not bullish for the economy, that's for sure. It's not bullish for the vast majority of humanity. Some of the more concerning signals we've been getting recently, even before the CPI, going back to last year and even last month, swap spreads. Interest rate swap spreads based on SOFR, the 5-year maturity, fell to almost minus 29 basis points yesterday. And it's been moving lower since May 1st, the 5-year maturity has, and it's made a sharper move since the middle of June, which seemed to be coincident to the European election mess and the breakout in bond spreads in Europe. But since they've continued to move negative, even though Europe has kind of normalized here, it suggests that this is more than just European worries or woes. That's echoed in the 10-year swap spread, which at minus 42 basis points, almost 43 basis points, it's been in that range since last week. That's the lowest since early January, too. So making a substantial move lower and then holding there, not a good sign as well. The 30-year swap spread, that one dropped to minus 81 basis points on July 2nd. Again, last week was a pretty bad week in the swap market, and it held like that this week. The 30-year swap spread has come back a little bit, but at minus 81 basis points, that was the most negative since November of 2022. And a negative swap spread is not a good sign for the marketplace. As I mentioned in a video not too long ago, that's the fundamental picture of the economy and the monetary system that the interest rates would price if the Federal Reserve wasn't in the way. So as the Fed continues to look like it's going to get out of the way, interest rates are going down toward where swaps are, and that's not a good thing. Sticky consumer prices, that whole nonsense, that was just about economists trying to explain the length of time that the supply shock downside has taken, along with the fluctuations in oil prices and insurance costs along the way. They look at it as sticky consumer prices because they don't really know where consumer prices are coming from, where pressures are coming from. They get all of their information in theory from the worst people to get it from, which is the Federal Reserve. In the current CPI report, the June CPI report, we've got 2 months in a row of more than just disinflation. The real concerning elements were that price pressures disappeared in broad-based fashion and did so for the second straight month, which is exactly what a lot of companies have said they were going to do, and the CPI shows that a lot of them have actually done it. But why did companies lower prices? Well, they told us why they did. Their customers no longer have the money and wherewithal to buy at those higher prices. They're responding to economic weakness, and that response to economic weakness has flowed through into this broad-based second month in a row disinflation in the CPI. Not just benign Goldilocks consumer prices, much more concerning than that. This was always the downside to the cycle that began in 2020 and 2021. And we continue to get more evidence of that downside, the continuation of the cycle toward its maybe inevitable end, in more and more evidence that comes up each and every month, including now the June CPI report. And that's exactly how the marketplace is responding. The big downdraft in yields is, first of all, the oh no, this really is the last stage of the supply shock downside, as well as the Fed's going to get out of the way and let interest rates go down to where they wanted to go this entire time, down toward where the swap market is. And if interest rates do end up moving closer to swaps, that is not a good thing. If you want to revisit all of that with the fundamentals of the marketplace priced through the swap market and how that impacts treasury yields, that's the video I've got linked below. As always, thank you very much for joining me. Check out Eurodollar University's anniversary sale. For all you new members and subscribers, I can't thank you enough. And all you existing members and subscribers, I also thank you very much. And until next time, take care.